done the roll.
Okay, I guess I thought we had done the roll call because, half hour in, I thought we might have accomplished that, but I'll be quiet now.
Okay. All right. Okay. So anyway,
Vote on Hudson's proposal.
Okay.
Did we unmute everyone?
Ms. Adams, will you accept the modification of Ms. Huggins' proposal that the chat will remain open and there'll be a three strikes policy?
I haven't made a motion. I thought we were trying to finish the roll call. I'm confused.
Well,
I mean, I'm very confused. I'm just trying to do what you want and follow the procedure. I'm thinking.
okay. Well, no, you haven't followed the procedure, Ms. Adams, because I've wanted to do the roll call and I wanted to move on to the agenda item. So I am now, the discussion has ended. I want asking you specifically whether you will amend your request for the chat to do Ms. Huggins' proposal that it, there be a three strikes policy. Will you accept the amendment or not, or we can vote on yours to unmute all without any kind of constraints? It's up to you.
I second Sharon Adams' motion.
There is no motion on the floor. Point of order.
Exactly. And that's why I was trying to make a point of order. And I will also say that what Christina said was about people unmuting, not about the chat. I do actually happen to think that, three times being asked by the chair to, cease speaking. And then, I think that might be a good policy. And then to be at that point, not able to unmute for the rest of the meeting. But my issue is, I'm happy to complete the roll call. I seriously thought we were done. And that's why I brought it up again. I'm happy to complete the roll call and then just go to this item.
Is the roll call complete, Madam Secretary?
Yes.
We will now vote on.
We will now vote on Sharon Adams
and Huggins.
And Huggins' motion, but they're contradictory motions.
No.
Point of order.
Yes.
Christina is not a.
She's
Christina is.
It's a suggestion. All right. Okay, let's start.
There is no motion on this.
Okay, Sharon Adams, are you making a motion that the chat will revert back and everybody will be unmuted?
Yes, that is my motion.
Please write it in the,
please write it in the chat.
Just announce it.
No, please write it in the chat.
To the secretary, please.
I'm sending it to the entire group, okay? So I can't do all these things.
Know where the chat is.
I think this is it.
Okay, I have it in the chat that the policy used at the last LSB meeting be used at this meeting until there is a vote to the contrary.
Is there any objection to doing that? Just announce that. Ask.
Is there any objection to the adopting the motion?
Point of clarification, please.
Who is that?
Anthony Fest, may I be recognized?
Okay, well, I will as soon as I find your name.
Yeah, please unmute him. Just announce. Somebody else can do it.
I seem to be unmuted already.
Go ahead, speak.
I'd like to know I'd like a little more clarification on what policy means in the Sharon Adams motion. Does it relate only to the chat, or does it relate to speaking, or exactly what?
Policy is that everyone is on.
My understanding, and Ms. Adams can clarify it for me, is that we are making a motion. She's making motion that the chat is open and everybody will be unmuted. Is that correct?
Yes. That's not exactly what I'm saying, but the policy, to answer Anthony's question directly, is the policy that we used at the last meeting regarding chat and regarding muting and unmuting.
Any other?
any objection to it?
Any objection?
Without objection, motion is adopted.
If there's no objection, the motion is adopted that we will be reverting back to the previous rules regarding the chat and the muting. Okay, the next item will be the, I will be reading the rules of the LSV board have been previously adopted. KPFA, LSV Standing Rules and Customs. These agreements apply to all meeting participants at KPFA local station board meetings and email communications, including those speaking during public comments. This includes a requirement for KPFA LSV members and participants to speak with each other respectfully using comfortable volumes, focus on facts, issues, and proposals, specifically no name calling, personal attacks, or insults, use attribution of sources and documentation when making statements or assumptions about other people or groups, listen to each other with care, honor board confidentiality. Local station board members are required to keep all job performance information related to KPFA management, paid and unpaid staff and volunteers, confidential, to be shared only within executive session of LSV meetings. During meetings, KPFA LSV members and participants will honor the agenda and timeline, including staying on topic, following group procedure, and respecting directions of the chair, facilitators, timekeepers, and people taking stack during meetings. Timekeepers are designated for meetings for the agenda items and for speakers. Speakers are each permitted up to two times to speak per item within the first time for 90 seconds and the second time for 60 seconds. Raise hands to be recognized by the chair or facilitator, honor individual time allocations per share, and finish up when agreed to upon time is over. Audio recordings of the meetings are available at kpftx.org. No video recording is permitted at KPFA LSV meetings. If a situation arises when a participant is not willing to honor the above agreements, that person may be muted or removed from the meeting and subject to disciplinary action. Use of Zoom. For purposes of sound quality and clear communication without interruptions, participants are asked to mute themselves during KPFA LSV online meetings, and the chair and host will recognize such persons at a time to unmute themselves and speak while they are recognized. Board members on the phone can mute and unmute themselves by pressing *6. The use of the Zoom chat options is reserved for LSV members to post proposals for motions and documentation to the secretary or persons designated by the chair during the meeting. We look forward to hearing from members of the public during the public comments time. Board members wishing to be called on during the meeting are asked to raise their hands with Zoom, usually by clicking on the participant button at the bottom of the screen and then clicking on the raise hand button on the right to press *9 on a phone. Board members will be called on by staff. LSV members shall use chat to submit all motions to the LSV secretary. Board members online may vote by Zoom, raise hand, or by roll call, or by email with the 5-character code. The password will be created by the board member when needed. Board members who are unable to vote by email may text or phone in their votes to a designated phone number. The KPFA Local Station Board Ethics Task Force is instructed to monitor, investigate, and make recommendations to the KPFA LSV regarding possible actions of board members that are adverse to the best interests of KPFA or the Pacific Foundation Incorporated. Use of the KPFA LSV Google email groups. The KPFA Local Station Board authorizes the persons administering the KPFA LSV Google Groups to adjust the settings as needed to help ensure that the groups are used appropriately in alignment with the KPFA, LSB meeting and email agreements, and the Pacifica bylaws. The purpose of the closed list is for LSB announcements and not for deliberation or individual instruction. The purpose of the LSB open email group is for board members to receive emails from members of the public. The KPFA LSB open Google group is not for deliberation or individual instruction. It is suggested the KPFA LSB members use the Pacifica KPFA and government websites in preparation for the board work. This resolution serves as a notice to all local station board members that LSB members violating the agreements may lose their option to post on the LSB email list at the discretion of the KPFA local station boards. Now, this will be, this announcement regarding this will be posted in the chat for at all future meetings. And it is contemplated that since it will be posted in the chat, that it will not be read during these meetings. I've done this today since this is our inaugural meeting and as a courtesy to the new members of the board. The next item on is the approval of the agenda.
Is there any objection?
Is there any objection to the agenda?
Without objection.
Yes.
Who is it Fred?
Anthony Fest.
Anthony Fest, your objection?
I'm not certain, but I wouldn't try to rush it too quickly because I believe one or more members have items to be added. However, my objection is different. My objection is I don't, like these needless self-imposed constraints that are written into the agenda for this month. I say simplify it, remove these time certain items, which we've already gone over. We've already gone past the 11:20 time certain. It just shows how unrealistic these are. And I would set a realistic adjournment time, say 2 o'clock. No need to keep talking until 2 o'clock if we finish our business. So that is my motion. Remove the time certain designations and set a more realistic adjournment time, i.e. 2 o'clock.
Okay. Any other discussion on that motion? Is that motion seconded?
Second.
I'll second that. Frank Sterling.
Okay. Any other further discussion?
Point of order. Please write all motions, any motions which you wish to have recorded. Please write them into the chat.
I take note too that I don't seem to be able to post in the chat
To the secretary, Anthony. Just, you can write it to the secretary.
I'd like to be able to post it all, but I will do that.
Exactly. We just said we're keeping the old rules in place, but they're not in place. So please put the rules back where people can unmute themselves and they can chat.
Also, I think members should be able to see what the motions are, not just the secretary.
Members can hear what the motions are when they're read. Please post them in the chat.
All right.
Point of information.
Mr. Dodsworth.
I've actually posted in the chat to everybody, and I don't have any special privileges. And Sharon has actually seconded a motion that I put in the chat, and I'm going to read it now, if I may.
Go ahead.
I move that any participant who interrupts the speaker and is warned 3 times is muted for the balance of the meeting.
Is there any objection to adopting that motion?
Point of order, we're on the agenda item.
Pertaining to the procedure.
This is pertaining to the procedure and not an agenda item. So it will be entertained.
I object to that.
Is there any objection to adopting that motion that we have 3 strikes policy?
I object.
There is a motion on the floor already.
vote on the three strikes policy.
We're going to vote on the three strikes policy first.
Ranks as a question.
As a question of privilege, we will be voting on the three strikes policy.
Is it written in the chat?
Sure as hell is.
It is written in there. Mr. Dodsworth has written. Please take a roll call of this vote.
Okay.
We haven't had arguments for and against this motion.
Okay.
Nobody wanted to speak.
To the motion.
We are now voting.
It is now before the body.
Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Sharon Adams, yes. Emma Era.
No.
Emma, no. Daniel Borgstrom.
Wait, I still don't understand what we're voting on.
Okay, in the chat, Daniel, Donna Carter.
Read the chat.
No.
Donna, no. Michael Chang.
Yes.
Michael, yes. Cheryl Davila. Fred Dodger.
Yes.
Cheryl Davila.
I don't understand the motion. I do not understand the motion.
I will read the motion. I move that any participant who interrupts the speaker and is warned three times is muted for the balance of the meeting.
Now you know what it
is. Daniel Borgstrom.
No.
Daniel
votes no.
Cheryl Davila.
We didn't read the motion.
I just read it.
I said to myself, you know what compels me to ask?
No.
Fred Dodsworth.
Yes.
Fred Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
Donald, yes. Leslie Howard.
Yes.
Leslie, yes. Zach Caldevere.
Yes.
Zach, yes. Billy Kimura.
Yes.
Lily, yes. James McFadden.
No.
James, no. Elizabeth Milos. Elizabeth.
No.
Okay. No. Brian Crowell. I'll come back to Brian. Candace Schott.
Yes.
Candace, yes. Catherine Tuck-Talkin.
Yes.
Catherine, yes. Mark Van Landuit.
Yes.
Mark, yes. Steve Zeltzer.
No.
Steve, no. Anthony Best.
No.
Anthony, no. Philip Muldari.
Yes.
Philip, yes. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Darlene, yes. Frank Sterling.
Sorry, no.
Frank, no. Richard Walensky.
Yes.
Richard, yes. Sherry Gendelman. Oh, sorry, Sherry doesn't vote. All right.
What's the vote tally?
The vote is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, yes. And no is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, no. Point of order, Madam Chair, the motion passes. Point of order, Madam Chair, We are time certain, way past the time for Antonio Ortiz, the general manager, to make his report.
Announced that the vote was adopted. The three strikes policy is adopted.
Okay, the three strikes policy is adopted. We have to, before the general manager can speak, we have to approve the December 23rd, 2023 minutes. And it's time certain. Do I hear any objection to adopting the minutes? Please, the people that have their hands raised, please lower their hands.
Since there are no corrections, the minutes.
Yes, object.
Okay, well, please lower your hands if you're not objecting to the approval of the minutes.
Are there any corrections to the minutes?
Any corrections to the minutes?
Since there are no corrections.
I don't know if my objection, my objection is that,
Liz, please lower your hand unless you have a correction to the minutes.
Whether the parliamentarian wants to consider this an objection to adoption or a correction, but it's
first. I'm asking if there's a correction to the minutes.
Well, first you asked if there was a.
I'm asking
objection.
Now if there's a correction to the minutes.
Only way to object to.
That's the only way to object to the minutes if you have a correction to the minutes.
If you have a point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would suggest that we ask anybody to write their corrections to the minutes, send them to me, and we could take this up at the next meeting.
Point of order. You can't call a point of order and say that there was and just make a statement. A point of order has to be a violation of the rules. So somebody can't just use point of order and then just say something that's not a violation of rules. So the chair should first say, what is the violation?
Okay, your point of order is well taken.
Since there are no corrections to the minutes.
If there's no corrections to the minutes, I'm asking if there is no correct, let me finish talking. Do not interrupt me when I am talking. This is precisely why I wanted to institute the mute button. Please be courteous to each other and do not interrupt me when I'm talking. This is preschool rules, okay? Now, if there are no corrections to the minutes will be adopted.
I object.
The minutes are adopted.
Minutes are adopted.
Go to the time certain.
Time certain.
Point of order, please.
We have a time certain for 11:28.
The time certain will, I am asking, Ms. Pagano to, designate when the time is up, and I'm asking Ms. Adams to, tell us when we're getting close to the time.
May please. I make, may my point of order be heard, please?
Okay,
Anthony Fest.
State your point.
I hope the parliamentarian will affirm that even if it's not according to the rule of courtesy, a member who makes a point of order is entitled to interrupt other speech that's in progress. I would rather not, but I feel I'm being railroaded here. May my concern about the minutes be heard.
We're done with the minutes are done.
The minutes have been adopted. Your point of order is not well taken. Okay, the next item will be, Madam Secretary, can you inform regarding the ballots?
I'm sorry, one more time. The agenda has not been approved, and I have a pending motion as to the agenda.
Sir, you're out of order. The minutes have been approved. Madam Secretary, please read the instruction for the ballots.
I believe we have time certain for the general
manager. I'm sorry, for the general manager. I apologize.
Interim general manager, yes. So we want to introduce Antonio Ortiz, the general manager.
Hello, everybody. I am Antonio Ortiz, Interim General Manager. Happy 2024. I hope everyone had a good time connecting with their friends and family. And am I going to go straight into the report, or is that it?
Yes, please go through the report.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm going to share.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. The time allotted for this is 30 minutes, including question time.
Okay. Let me share my screen. Zoom Tech, either Peter or EA, can you allow me to share my screen, please?
One moment.
Okay.
Just FYI, I believe it's under security, and then allow participants to share the screen.
It's set for one participant can share at a time.
Meeting and administrators?
I'm changing it. Okay. You should be able to share now.
Thank you so much. Let me find it here. All right. So here's the manager's report to the local station board for January 2024. Again, Happy New Year, everybody. I'm going to take a moment to just pause, take a breath. It is 2024, KPFA is turning 75. It's going to be a wonderful year. That is the hope. We can keep our fingers crossed. So 2023 was a whirlwind of activity at KPFA, and I applaud the efforts of everyone who helped keep KPFA running smoothly. Due to the departure of a few management team members, this year the team was restructured and reorganized with current staff and the addition of one new staff person to serve the needs of the station in 2023. The team members are Interim Chief Engineer Mike Cohn, Business Manager Maria Negrette, Interim Assistant to the Interim General Manager Programming Department Miko Tolliver, Interim Assistant to the Interim General Manager Operations Department Jose Gonzalez, Fund Drive Manager Laura Privis, and Interim Donor Relations Manager Adelina Kirkness. I want to give them a big thank you for leading their departments, coordinating weekly meetings, and increasing communication with our large group of staff and listener members. I'm going to go through what has been accomplished in the engineering department. Engineering 2023 year in review. The engineering team made significant strides in enhancing the station's infrastructure, ensuring a more robust and reliable broadcasting environment. Server upgrade. A pivotal accomplishment was the migration of vital resources, such as phones and monitoring systems, to new hypervisors operating in triple parallel. This step not only bolstered security, but also provided stability during power outages or equipment issues. The ongoing effort is to complete the migration of all services onto this new system, minimizing the risk of disruptions during fund drives and regular operations. Transmitter site improvements. The completion of a new HVAC system in the equipment room was crucial in preventing equipment overheating during the increasingly hotter summers. Simultaneously, the team worked on upgrading older, potentially failing equipment, allowing for more remote control and faster response times to issues at the tower site. Studio enhancements. Responding to the music department's request, a new DJ controller was introduced, and the studio's wiring was revamped, providing 12 available microphones for on-air shows. Efforts were made to address past flooding issues, paving the way for a potential reopening of the studio should health, safety, and insurance issues be resolved. Software updates. In terms of software, the team finalized critical upgrades to streamline operations and enhance efficiency for remote and holiday work. The implementation of equipment and programming allowed the station to operate seamlessly without board ops during holidays. This included automatic ingestion of audio port shows, improved remote connections through IPDTL and Comrex, and the addition of tools like Zoom to the on-air studio. A look ahead. The focus of 2024 is to build upon the achievements of the past year with a primary goal of completing the migration of all services onto a single host using the new hypervisor system. Additional measures involve backing up some applications remotely, ensuring the continuity of vital services even in the face of simultaneous power and internet outages, In addition, multiple tower sites are slated for improvements in 2024, addressing essential needs for optimal performance. In South Monterey, signal efforts will be directed towards cleaning up the signal for Pebble Beach and Carmel, optimizing signal strength and quality. Ongoing projects at Grizzly Peak include the implementation of a remote switcher and tower painting, ensuring the infrastructure is robust and visually maintained. Looking beyond immediate goals, the team aspires to allocate resources to address long-term challenges. Recognizing the aging website and its challenges, the engineering team dreams of dedicating resources to revamp it. Managing tech debt incurred over the years is essential to ensure compatibility with modern web browsers and practices. This endeavor may require capital campaigns and likely be a multi-year undertaking. And for anyone who doesn't know what tech debt is, essentially it is coming up with a solution the fastest way possible versus addressing the issue in a more comprehensive way. All right, so that comes with it. Solution, but problems down the line, just FYI. In conclusion, the engineering team's endeavors in 2023 set a solid foundation for a more resilient and advanced broadcasting system. As we step into 2024, the commitment to innovation and improvement remains unwavering, ensuring the station's continued success in the ever-evolving media landscape. Programming department. New paid internships and job training. KPFA created 4 paid internships through the collaboration and partnership with Pacific Coast Community Services and Berkeley City College Learning Aligned Employment Program, or the Berkeley City College Learning Aligned Employment Program. Interns learn audio editing, video production, live streaming, and creating social media content to grow the station's online presence. The internships are designed to give each individual paid work experience, and the station had 2 interns through Pacific Coast Community Services, 2 interns through Berkeley City College. KPFA is the host agency, and in exchange, Pacific Coast Community Services covers 100%, and Berkeley City College's LEAP program covers 90% of the intern's wage. The station is currently interviewing candidates for a new round of internships that are funded by the Department of Rehabilitation through their Demand Side Employment Initiative, DSEI, an employer incentive program to support businesses to expand or start hiring people with disabilities. Simulcasting, social media, and best of podcasts. KPFA's social media team has been forming partnerships and experimenting on ways to expand the station's reach online. Simulcasting. In collaboration with Berkeley Community Media, a public education government access TV station on channels 28 and 33 in Berkeley, the station simulcasted content on the radio, on social media, and on public access TV. Simulcast events include the Pacifica National Fun Drive revolving around Bob Dylan's birthday, last year, and the KPFA Crafts Fair broadcast. In 2024, the aim is to simulcast 75th anniversary events and election night coverage. Social media. With the new content on social media, the station's followers have grown on YouTube and Instagram, while Facebook and Twitter, also known as X, have stagnated or shrunk. From March 7th of 2023 to today, YouTube grew from 1,370,000 to 1,700,000 followers. Instagram grew from 3,491 to 3,995 followers. Facebook stayed stagnant at around 19,000 followers, and Twitter shrunk from 13,811 to 13,698 followers. Best of podcasts. Each episode highlights KPFA's listener-supported programming and informs online audiences of ways to support and donate. The best of podcasts can be found on Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, etc. Any place that people online can get their podcasts. The goal of the best of podcasts is to reach and expand the station's audience. Communication, promos, and special broadcasts. The programming department improved consistent communication, promoting music programs, and expanded special broadcasts. 1, consistent programmers meetings. Since put this up. Since May of 2023, the programming department had monthly paid programmer meetings and three quarterly community programmer representative meetings geared toward volunteer programmers to encourage collaboration and inform staff on station news and events. Promotion of music programming. Promos of music programming or programs aired as music breaks on the evening news, as well as on the daily promo grid to promote the 60% of music programming on 94.1 FM. The station has received positive feedback from listeners about this because they end up finding out what happens after 8 o'clock on the radio. Special broadcasts. The station expanded special programming by airing three episodes of Drag Queen Storytime in June during Pride Month. A special thanks goes to Mike Biggs, who helped formulate the idea with the interim general manager, me, and an applause to lead producer Eric Jansen, associate producer EA, and tech producer slash videographer Peter Stickney for making the project a reality. So the folks that you're working with today, EA and Peter, kudos to them. Round of applause for helping make this happen. Other special broadcasts in 2023 and their teams, Black History Month, which aired on February 5th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., the producer Prema Jackson, associate producer Rashida Chase, and technical producer Rod Akil. International Women's Day, March 11th, midnight to midnight, lead producers were Christine Honestad, Paula Birch, Lisa Detmer, and Darlene Pagano. AAPI Heritage Month, which was on May 1st, we did 1 hour at 3 o'clock. Lead producers Miko Lee and Jelena Keenly of Apex Express. The Alcatraz Sunrise Gatherings, Indigenous Peoples Day and Thanksgiving Day from 5 to 8 a.m. Lead producer Morningstar Galley and Rochelle of the International Indian Treaty Council. Host Miguel Molina, lead technical producer, on-site engineer Falcon Molina. Support team members Frank Sterling, Preto Reyes, and many others who I didn't have the chance to thank here today. Without their work and support, the Sunrise Gatherings would not be running as smoothly as they have been. So I want to give them a big shout out. And then last but not least, the Crafts Fair simulcast, Saturday, November 27th and Sunday, November 28th, 9 to 11 a.m. Executive producers were me and Miko Tolliver, producers Prema Jackson and Paula Birch, host Lady Esther, who's Esther Green, Computer Blue, Paris Warr of Don't Disturb This Groove on Mondays at 10 o'clock, and Cinnamon Sugar Shoes, also known as Eric Jansen, who helped with the Drag Time Story Hour. Director of Photography, Peter Stickney, Audio Tech, On-Site Engineer, EA, Roving Camera, David Flores, Executive Director of Berkeley Community Media. I can't tell you enough how thankful I am that we are partnering with Berkeley Community Media to do simulcasts and do content on video and on radio. And also a thanks to the Crafts Fair production team, Neve Lionheart, and Jacob and Christopher DeRocca Kinchilo. That's how I pronounce it. Okay, now moving on to the operations department. Give me a moment. Let me just have one drink. Have water. The Every Person Handbook. So the station updated and distributed the Every Person Handbook in June and in September of 2023 with the goal of ensuring all staff, both employees and volunteers, comply with the station's policies and protocols, know and use the station's online tools and services, as well as see and understand the station's current organizational chart and list of departments, as well as their roles and responsibilities. The Every Person Handbook is a living document that will be updated and distributed to all staff on a regular basis. The handbook is a supplemental document to the Pacifica Personnel Handbook, the CWA Union Contract, and state and federal law. All current staff are required to submit a signed copy of the Declaration of Compliance with Station Policies and Procedures. Ensuring staff get rest, aka holidays. The final week of 2023 was designated a holiday week from December 24th to January 1st. Almost all programs were pre-recorded in order to ensure as many members were able to rest and spend time with friends and family. Below is the holiday schedule for the new year of 2024. We have MLK Jr. Day on Monday, January 15th, President's Day, Monday, February 19th, Cesar Chavez Day observed on Monday, April 1st, even though Cesar Chavez Day is March 31st, International Workers' Day, Wednesday, May 1st, Memorial Day, Monday, May 27th, Juneteenth, Wednesday, June 19th, Independence Day, Thursday, July 4th, Labor Day, Monday, September 2nd, Indigenous Peoples Day, Monday, October 14th, Thanksgiving weekend, Thursday, November 28th to Sunday, December 1st, the winter holiday, Christmas week, Tuesday, December 24th to Tuesday, December 31st, New Year's Day, Wednesday, January 1st, 2025. Before I move on, one thing that I want to just put out there that is very important to me is that we have a large group of dedicated staff members, both employees and volunteers, who work tirelessly day in and day out. And what is important to me as an interim general manager is that I need to make sure that everyone gets the rest that they need to be able to rejuvenate, to come back to KPFA with more energy, and even also just stepping away so that when they come back to KPFA, they have they can brainstorm. They could come up with new ideas. And that only happens when we honor and give people rest. Okay. So transitioning playlist from Confessor to Spinatron. The station initiated the transition from the current Confessor system of music reporting and playlist creation to Spinatron, a widely used paid service adopted by other stations like KPU, KFCF, and UC Berkeley's Calyx. After having several music programmers test and familiarize themselves with Spinatron, KPFA will complete the full switch in early 2024. The one major benefit of the Spinatron services is that creation of playlists with direct links to the artist's music online. Is that distracting, the noise in the background? Okay, if it is, just let me know and I'll tell my roommate that she can't make coffee. Okay.
Antonio, yeah. Sorry to cut in on your time, but can you please, you've got about 3 minutes. We need to take care of the balloting and the other issues.
Okay. Is it possible for me to extend it just a little bit longer just so I can at least just finish this?
Okay, just do your highlights. You got 3 minutes.
Okay.
Point of information, real quick. The instructions on the ballot say we have to vote in the next 10 minutes. Is that right? So I think somebody screwed up.
We'll have to change that. Let him finish.
Say we're extending the time.
We're extending the time, Mr. McFadden. Thank you.
Okay. Well, apologies to everyone that I'm going to have to rush through this, but you'll see the full report. We have restructured the operations department to allow the person who's doing the content lead to start working with music programmers. We have 60% music on KPFA, and they need to have someone to help support them on a more ongoing basis. That's what that's all about, reception and communication with listeners. In partnership with Self-Help for the Elderly, we are a host agency for two people who are coming to KPFA to get work experience, job training, in order for them to pursue other careers in wherever they want to go. But we're their host agency, and Self-Help for the Elderly pays 100% of their wage. It also has helped us with communication with our listeners. People have been raving about getting some communication back from the reception. Goals for the future. There's a lot of things that we've got to fix. You'll see it about revamping the website and all that jazz. Fund drive. Just know that we've been testing out the past two fund drives, a modified phone room and station admin. We have found that the information that's coming in from listeners through the new modified station admin, which is our CRM software, is able to bring in donors and their information quicker. So there's less holding times and wait times. Unfortunately, we're waiting on the insurance issue to be addressed before we can start actually toying with the idea of a full-on phone room. From there, the fund drive performance, the end of the year, we were successful. We made 113% of our goal, which was $339,276 coming in. The rest of the year, you can see here, the end of December of last year was really well. The end of this December, we did really well. Another thing is that we had an end of year mailer that I and some staff members sent out. And that mailer, which was a New Year's card celebrating KPFA and its 75th year, raised $51,590 in pledges. And the goal for 2024, it's been difficult fundraising at KPFA on the fund drives, especially the summer. We've been putting it out there in the universe if there is a way to eliminate the summer drive, a wish list. And then the last few things are listener survey. There's a listener survey out for listeners to participate and letting us know what shows they listen to or what they don't listen to. There's also a set of listener forums that are going to be happening. This is a continuation of the forums that we had in November of last year. We're going to have them in February, and then we will complete that listener forum process. And then the last part of the of my report is that special events that are going to happen for the 75th. We are in talks with Amy Goodman to do an event at the First Church of Christ in Berkeley on April 6th. Also on April 15th, there's going to be a music birthday celebration at Freight and Salvage. And then also the history of KPFA. Sorry, I'm going to put this right here. 75 years of building community trust, hosted by Liam O'Donohue. The date is still TBD. On-air programming, the goal is to have 75 years, 75 voices, beginning on MLK Day, leading up to the birthday on April 15th. And then special on-air shows that we have, that we will be planning for the 2 weeks leading up to the major events of programming, in April. And that is what I have in the last 2 minutes, and apologies for taking too long, but there was a lot that went on in.
Okay, thank you, Antonio. Next item that we're going to be,
if there's no objection, we'll change the time.
We're going to, change the time, and we're going to immediately do what the most important thing on today's agenda was, and that was to, explain the ballot procedure. Madam Secretary?
Point of information?
What is your point of information?
Are we not going to have questions for the...
If we have time at the end of the meeting to have questions, if not, no, those questions can be...
Point of order.
Don't interrupt. I am not finished talking. That's strike one. We are, if we have time at the end, if not, please address your questions by email to Antonio. Right now, we are going to ask the secretary to discuss the most important item in today's agenda, and that is explanation of the ballots. Madam Secretary, please proceed.
Yes. Okay. We are extending the time, so all ballots must be received by 1 p.m. instead of 12:15 to give us time for voting. So we're going to have to vote. LSB delegates reply to an email ballot from elections@kpfa.org. If you're unable to vote by email, you may phone in your vote 415-294-1483 or text it. Can you write that number in the chat, EA, please? Votes need to include the delegate's name and a 5-character code. The code you make up yourself, delegates make it up using 5 letters, numbers, or symbols. And voting begins after the ballots are sent out. All voting must be submitted by 1 p.m. in the afternoon. We will send the results as soon as they are calculated on the KPFA LSB list. Okay, right now, we're going to call on people who are nominated for, to make a 1-minute presentation. And starting with those nominated, I'd like to know, there are 7 people nominated for, directors. Please raise your hand if you would like to speak as one of the people nominated for a director.
Okay, anybody who is not a nominee, please lower your hands right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, we will start with listener directors. James McFadden has his hand raised.
First, I want to say I saw Frank Sterling down at the Port of Oakland in support of the ceasefire, and I was very happy to see that. I hope KPFA does coverage of that. I've been on the LSB for 5 years and 2 years on PNB. Pacific finances are a problem, and that's something I've been on the NFC. I've been looking into. The office is struggling. So I recently asked the ED after the last NFC meeting if there was a she could send me information about KPFA's central services payments, and I got a it turns out KPFA's only made 5 of the last 28 central services payments since the beginning of fiscal year 22. And that's a real problem. If they had been making those payments, we probably could have afforded the election in 2022. And that's caused a whole series of problems. So we're in arrears of about at least 400,000, even if you subtract off the 300K that the Verniel suit confiscated. So I think this is a really big issue and has to be addressed in the next.
Please finish up.
That's it.
Thank you. Next, Donna Carter.
Donna Carter, do you wish to make a statement?
It may be frozen.
Okay, Elizabeth Milos.
Yes. Basically, the reason why is precisely what you're showing the rest of the listeners here with the way that this meeting is being conducted and the autocratic way that the super majority on this KPFA had conducted itself during this past year. And PMB, I want to be on the PMB so we can bring back democracy. I mean, we talk about democracy so much, but in reality, the way that you're conducting this meeting is a dictatorship. And I also second, James McFadden's point about the money that, central services that KPFA refused to pay to, Pacifica actually is helping to, try to bring down Pacifica, just like we showed, several times with all those lawsuits that were handed out and everything. So I'm really, looking forward to being on the PMB, to try to move PMB in a more democratic direction and respect for the bylaws. Because right now you guys are violating the electronic communications. Yes, right now you're violating the Roberts Rules of Order electronic communication.
Thank you. Donna Carter? Donna Carter, we cannot hear you. Fred Dodsworth.
I've been on the PNB for the last year, and I have to say that things have gotten much, much better. I also want to say that I dispute some of the allegations that my other candidates have made. In fact, KPFA is the most successful station on the network. The $305,000 that was seized from us because of the WBAI violation of people's rights cost us, and it was seized from us, and that has been actually applied to central services, as the executive director noted in the last meeting. I'm kind of surprised that that wasn't stressed, that the executive director noted that we are not $400,000 behind. We are a couple thousand dollars. In fact, our treasurer is working on and clarifying and bringing us up to speed. We are the only station that is paid for the archives. We are actually in remarkably good shape. And regarding democracy, democracy requires that people actually not scream and shout over each other incessantly, which happens, unfortunately, so often at this, or has historically happened so often at this LSB, and was happening at the PNB until we instituted some regulations like 3 strikes and you're out. It makes it impossible to do business when people scream and shout and pay no attention to the rules. I hope that you elect me.
Hey, Siri.
I think I can do a good job there.
Call 415-294-1488.
Donald,
you're unmuted.
Okay, next is Donna Carter.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Ah, great. Okay, I'm pretty excited about running for the national board and learning about it, but I also have a few points of direction. I believe in the Pacifica motto, and I hope and I believe that we should support all of our stations, and that we work together. This upcoming year will be a difficult one politically for all of us, and we need the network more than ever. I'm also concerned about finances. That's been an ongoing issue, and I hope to work on that area. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Daniel Borgstrom.
Yes, Daniel here. I've been on the board on the LSB for about 4 or 5 years now, and I've been attending these meetings for well over a decade, and I'm fairly well up on the history of KPFA Pacifica. I've written numerous articles on this, which are available to be seen, posted online. I was here during the takeover. I was watching during the takeover of WBAI, or the later, and let's see, an attempt at putting KPFA into receivership, various things like that. But as I say, I've written about these, and you can look at my articles. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Steve Seltzer.
Okay, I think that Pacifica faces an important opportunity as millions of people want an alternative to the corruption and the attacks on working people in the war. We fought for the support of journalists Julian Assange and Mumia Abu-Jamal, and unfortunately the local station board did not support that, but it was passed by the Pacifica National Board. We need a transparent leadership. We need finance committees from KPFA and all the other stations, but KPFA, so that we can have transparency about what's going on financially at KPFA and Pacifica. We also need more democracy in Pacifica. The beginning of this meeting was a contemptible example of how to shut down a meeting and prevent people from speaking out, making motions. And I think it's a tendency of really bureaucratic and dictatorial control that some of the people on this board represent. They're afraid of debate. They're afraid of discussion. We have to open up KPFA and Pacifica so it becomes a national platform for people in this country to talk about what's going on, to get educated, to hear culture, art, and music, and to build a movement.
And Zach Goldvier.
Yeah, you know, speaking of democracy, I'm with KPFA Protectors. I've enjoyed spending a lot of time working with Fred these last 2 years, so I echo a lot of the things that he has said. In terms of the issue of democracy, you know, I would support the institution of the New Day bylaws that overwhelmingly were supported by listeners if we're really talking about democracy. If not in full, then through baby steps if I was on the board. I also will be an active defender of KPFA, which is constantly under false attacks from various factions for unknown reasons besides, even though it's the best supported and listened to station of the network. I'd also like to see WBAI held accountable for that giant financial sucking sound that's constantly coming out of New York. I certainly do not want to take the place of management and staff. I want to be an advisor to management and staff of these stations. I don't pretend to be a legislator either, where I'm not going to come on the board and give my 10-point platform for why I'm against fracking. I don't really think that has a place on an advisory council. I certainly oppose corporate underwriting of all kinds. I think if we lose credibility as the messenger, then the message gets lost as well. That's all.
Thank you, Zach. Okay, so those are the listener candidates. Please vote for your listener candidates in order of preference. You may vote for, there are 3 seats open. You may vote for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those listener candidates. We're going to now hear from
Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
In the chat, I have been maligned. Lies have been told about me by named parties. Gary carefully did not name people, but I'm very upset about the fact that James McFadden and Elizabeth Milos are lying about me, that James sits on the National Finance Committee and has passed these bogus, bogus budgets from WBAI multiple times. He's voted against KPFA every time. He's constantly running down KPFA, and I really, really resent his statements, and I resent Elizabeth Milo's statements about me. They are dishonest and untrue.
Okay. Wait. I remind people of the rules that I read at the beginning of this session, that there should be no personal attacks, either in chat or verbally. And I remind those members again about the rules. Continue now.
Okay. Next one are the staff candidates, and that's Frank Sterling.
Frank Sterling, do you wish to speak?
I'm actually going to withdraw my nomination. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Anthony Fest.
Anthony Fest, do you request? Do you want to make a statement?
Yes, I do. And just a preliminary matter, I would like to know something about process. Who will certify the results of this election? Who will attest to their correctness and accuracy? We didn't get that the last time around. We were just told, here are the results. As to my candidacy, I've been on staff since the 90s. I've been a news host. Now I'm a program producer. I've been on the LSB for multiple terms, but I have not been on the PNB before. As to what I would look to do on the PNB, above all, follow the bylaws. Don't get into the mess that happens when the PNB tries to implicitly rewrite the bylaws, and then it has to dig itself out of a hole. Also, we have a properly chosen executive director. I would let her do her work, not micromanage her, just set general policies and let her follow them. And above all, be the voice of the peace movement, not the bogus red, blue, dichotomy that the corporate media want to present to us, but really the, humanity versus war machine. That is the real dichotomy in this country and this world, and that's what our network should be paying attention to. Thank you.
Okay, Darlene?
Yes, I'm hoping to go back to the PNB. I did serve the extended previous period that happened because of lack of elections, and the PNB is struggling to become a board as opposed to the wild responsive organization it's been in the face of wild shifts and changes of fortune and process in society overall. But it's time for the PNB to actually be a board of directors. A big step we made towards that this year was stabilizing an executive director that is well-liked and well respected for Pacifica. I was the chair of the personnel committee that organized that, and for the first time in 23 years, we have an executive director that's going to serve more than 1 year at a time.
Your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be going directly into public comments now, I believe. Is that right, Lily?
Okay, thank you. This is the chair. Thank you to all the candidates. We are now going into public comments.
I have a question.
Carol, will you handle that, please? Thank you.
A question, please.
Public comments are time certain. We need to start. Everybody lower your hands. If you have a question, please write it into the chat. Raise your hand if you would like to be in public comments.
Real quick, this is Franklin, kind of a point of information here.
What is your point of information?
Being instructed to go to the chat as we are. I went there earlier and nothing was ever happened.
Okay.
So I'm just asking.
Your point is taken.
I haven't finished. I thought you were going to let us finish. I was just going to finish asking, if I wanted to extend the time. This is my example. I was going to make a motion to extend the time earlier, when the station manager was speaking, but since I put it in the chat and I was never recognized, my motion was never heard. So I'm just curious on how we could, prevent that. If I wanted to make a motion or say something, I'm not being recognized and I made a motion. So anyways, I'm just trying to get a point of information on how we could make it work.
All right. Okay. You made your point. Okay. You don't have to repeat yourself.
We're starting public comments right now. If you have any problems with voting, please contact EA. Okay, we're gonna begin with Carlos for public comments. We're time certain public comments.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Carlos.
Okay, we start. We have, how long do we have? 2 minutes?
Yes, Sharon, can you time people 2 minutes each, please?
Okay, let's start. For the last several LSB meetings, I've been using my 2 minutes to warn with alarm and urgency about the financial situation of Pacifica. I'm really, really alarmed and concerned. Very briefly, Pacifica is in default on loans totaling over $4 million. It has lost most major insurances for non-payment, and it's behind on over $1 million on unpaid bills. So Pacifica is going bankrupt. What I want to talk about today is the central services fee. Apparently, the PMB has suggested a new central services fee formula that is going to impact KPFA very, very badly. Very briefly, as I understand the numbers that I have seen, if KPFA didn't have to pay any central services fee, we would have a surplus of $480,000, roughly. Obviously, we all understand we have to pay central services fee. Those have been set at 15% of revenue. With those, KPFA would still be on the black by $10,000, essentially even. But with a new proposal of calculating central services fee, they are forcing KPFA to be on the red by over $220,000. This is completely unacceptable. This new formula would include donations like cars or other goods that people have donated specifically to KPFA that has never been done before. KPFA, central services fee were always calculated based on, listener revenue. This new formula impacts KPFA more than any other stations in the network. I know Pacifica is desperate for money, but it's driving KPFA into bankruptcy also. So I beg the board.
That's time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next on public comments, Madam Secretary.
I think it's Stan from the hand raise.
Yes, hi. Earlier, one of the candidates for the Pacifica National Board, Zach Kay,
mistakenly described the Pacifica National Board as being advisory only. And that's very inaccurate. That's the way it was before the hijackers, the way the hijackers ran things. And, of course, we reversed that and we instituted democratization. So the PMB, and in a different way, the LSB has real powers, including who is the Pacifica National Director and who the, actually who the station manager is. So we shouldn't belittle that. And we can't just be against corporate domination of society and say that we want to run things the way the corporate media runs their things, very top down. We give it to professionals their way or the highway. Okay. One other thing, I have to say,
okay, so this is
I'm a critic of many things about the news and so on, but I have to admit the coverage of the, I'm being interrupted if I can have 20 seconds added to my time. I've been very critical of the news department at many levels and many of the public affairs programming, especially when it comes to the war in the Ukraine, which often sounds like it's coming from the State Department. That being said, the coverage on the war in Gaza has been far, far better, and I have appreciated that, and it's been much more in tune with what the vast majority of our listeners feel and want to hear. And along that note, after this is over, myself and other people are going down to the Port of Oakland for the second shift, so to speak, of the port shutdown, gathering at 2 o'clock at West Oakland BART. And I hope others can join us there too. And also Saturday, there's going to be a rally gathering at 1 o'clock at San Francisco Civic Center, a West Coast rally in solidarity with Palestine against the war in Gaza. And of course, Sunday is going to be the Martin Luther King Day demonstration gathering at 14th and Broadway. So once again, the coverage of, the war in Palestine, the war in Gaza has been much better. And once again, we need democratization of the station network more than ever. Thank you.
Time. Okay, next I think is Kirby Washington. W. Kirby Washington.
Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon. Yes, I'm working on a program at KPFK, and we have a great interim general manager down there. But my question is, I'm encountering really thick levels of racism as I work at the station. And by racism, I mean what Dr. King described it as, the myth of inferiority. And it is, it's prevalent, it's waist high, everybody recognizes it, but there's no structure to address it. Do y'all up there have any kind of working formula that I could borrow and bring down to KPFK?
Well, we're, this is a time for public comment, so we are not in a position to answer questions at this time.
Oh, but sorry.
We appreciate your question and good luck with that. And there is, I suggest that you, contact the PNB about that. James Segerton. James Segerton.
Hi, thank you for recognizing me. I just wanted to reinforce what was said. The executive director was asked for specifically for a report on the payments by KPFA of central services. The report came back showing no central services having been paid this fiscal year, starting in September of 23 until the present. No central services paid in all of fiscal year 23, which would have been from October 1st, 2022 to September 30th, 2023. And only half, I count six, I think James counted five, but only six central services payments in the prior year, 2022, fiscal year 2022. So yeah, it's way more than the $305,000 that was seized by federal marshals in the arbitration matter with former executive director. And it is a problem, and it is coupled with the problem of loss of membership and listeners across the network. There have been similar levels of loss of membership and listenership across the network, much of which has to do with changes in the radio industry environment, but also some of which has to do with our choices of programming. And all of the stations are suffering those results, and some of them haven't felt the full effects of it yet, where others felt them earlier. So there's nothing to be celebrated about the situation of Pacifica as a whole or any of our units. We're all in trouble. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Bella De Soto.
Yes, thank you very much. This has been my second or third meeting I have attended in a year or so. I am at KPFK. This PNB has been a runaway train, canceling the 2022 elections unilaterally. No reason, really. All the reasoning that has been rendered has been bogus. Now it's planning another election this coming year, this now 2024. The way the structure of this committee, which holds a 15, a strong 2-day vote, seems to be so autocratic, so dictatorial, not allowing the membership of its board free expression to be expressed and be shared. And the chair seems to be not only a dictator, but a person that has no conscience regarding courtesy to the other members of the board. I hope that when you elect your directors that you use some common sense and bring about the true democracy that Elizabeth Milos suggested, because I can, you know, talk is cheap, very cheap, but action is what counts. And right now, across the network Pacifica, in a while, for a long time, we have a national program regarding Palestine. And so I ask you, please, to change your ways and bring about democracy to the foundation. And KPFA has not made central services payments at all.
Are you coming up? Thank you.
Thank you. And there is no finance. There is no finance committee. There is.
Okay. Richard Stone. Richard Stone. Richard, you need to unmute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, I'll just briefly reiterate what I, others have said before, and especially in light of people who are going to be elected to just still to take into further consideration a programming council that needs to be reestablished. Your KPFA, so that would actually, I believe, in my opinion, would be, a great moral, maybe even financial boost to the listener sponsorship. Note that they'd be able to do that, and also, briefly, I would like to see a reinstatement of the community advisory board the way it was, prior to the pandemic. I think it was really effective. Even the time when you were on it, Carol, I think you understand what I mean in terms of the efficacy of the way that the community advisory board, was running. And I would like to, see something like that reinstated as well. So that and a programming council. Thank you for your time. Okay.
Thank you. Virginia Browning.
Hi. What I wanted to say is that I had been sent the document from Stephanie Wells, the Pacifica director, and apparently to James McFadden's surprise, the Pacifica director that you have been praising said that KPFA had not been making central service payments. So I'm speaking only because you allowed one of your members to start yelling and kind of acting defensive and denying that. but I've seen the document. It comes from the Pacifica director, so I just, that's the, all I want to say.
Thank you. James McFadden, I see your hand. Is that Legacy? I'm sorry, James Sagerton. Sorry. James Sagerton, is that a Legacy hand? Yes, I'm assuming it is. All right. Thank you. Public comments is now.
Excuse me. No, that was not a Legacy hand. I lowered my hand and raised it again.
I believe that if they want to speak again in public comments, you have another minute. Is that correct?
I don't think Steve, the other one, has spoken yet, so I think he should go since he hasn't spoken yet.
Well, that's correct. Well, as Rich Stone has not spoken yet.
Steve, the other one who has his
Steve
hand
Zeltzer
up.
Steve Zeltzer is a member of the board. He does not.
Not Steve Zeltzer. Steve, the other one.
Steve, the other one. Okay.
I actually spoke. I'm lowering my hand.
Okay. Thank you. So, Steve, the other one, you please speak.
Hi. I find it curious that the Pacifica stations that are most in financial ruin are attacking KPFA. That would be KPFK and WBAI. Apparently they want KPFA to adopt the same imprudent performance model and join them in the massive deficit fiasco. It's unfortunate that they come here and attack people that are working really hard to try to keep this station going. And I think the rubber meets the road if you actually listen to the radio. If you listen to the radio of KPFA and compare it to any other station in the network, you'd be proud. There's some good stuff in the rest of the network, but none of them are as good as KPFA. So I'm a little bit disappointed that people come on and attack KPFA for whatever reasons. It's got nothing to do with their performance or their radio. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. James Sagerton.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. So I'm not here to attack KPFA. I'm just here actually to defend KPFA from misstatements of the reality that everything is fine at KPFA, because it's not. And KPFA is supposed to be paying $34,000 a year in central services, and they're not. And in fact, an odd factoid, WBI has paid more central services than KPFA has over the past 2 years. Now, we pay a smaller amount. We have had a budget in deficit, but so is KPFA. KPFA is in deficit if it's not paying its central services. And it's not an attack. It's just to bring an awareness to everyone that the whole network is in difficulty. And just to answer some of these posts from the chat, which apparently is only one way now, no, the NFC is not responsible for the WBAI budget. The NFC has refused to hear the WBAI budget for the last three meetings, but it's not responsible. Budgets come from management, and they get approved or disapproved or recommended for adoption or changes by governance. The central services formula that is in place was proposed by the representative on the NFC from KPFA. I opposed it at the time because I thought there should be room for deductions for certain things, like the fact that KPFK pays the air conditioning for the Pacifica Radio archives. That was defeated.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
Bella DeSoto.
Yes, thanks. I did not have time to mention that in the 2023 recent elections of the Pacifica National LSB election, 80% of the entire Pacifica Foundation membership did not cast votes, did not participate. This is how the manipulation bordering on malfeasance of elections and fraudulence, in fact, led to the win-win of the New Day actors across the network. And so I'm trying to educate those that refuse to understand the reality. And only last year, $367,000 were paid by KPFT and WBAI to Central Services. KPFA has not made Central Services, and the reason for that is they are not willing to help the foundation, the other units. And many times in the past, KPFK was the one who held the foundation, who helped every other unit across the network. Thank you.
Carlos?
Okay, thank you. This is the second time I talk. I've been saying for some time, notice that all of these problems have to do with money, and money that is transferred from stations to Pacifica and from Pacifica to other stations. The solution is simple. The solution is really simple. Each station should own its own finances and programming. We should change the bylaws. This should become a federation, every station owning its own destiny, its own finances. We would still pay Central Services fee. Pacifica would still exist, but each station would own its own numbers. And then we wouldn't have all these confrontations. We could help each other. Certainly, KPFA board could vote to help another stations. But when stations are in deficit for over 10 years, and are driving the network down and are not making the changes that they may need to make to change that situation, then we are going bankrupt, the whole network. And that is uncontestable. Thank you.
Call-in user?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
This is Jonathan Markowitz from Los Angeles, KPFK, listener member since 1987. I was involved in the effort to democratize this network. The person who just spoke is obviously uninformed. And I want to say this because to break up this network into separate financial entities will absolutely guarantee that these stations will end up being closed. Pacifica's entire history, as each of the stations were added, many times Pacifica had to step in and cover expenses for stations that were in the red, and it wasn't always the same station. You see, so the entire network has protected the network and protected the individual stations. So when people donate money to each station, they're actually donating money to Pacifica Foundation, and that's the way it should remain. Under no circumstance should the bylaws be changed.
Thank you. Okay.
And I have a few other comments. How much time do I have to make the statement?
Your time is up.
How much time is my statement?
1 minute.
You only allow 1 minute comment?
Okay, yes, public comment will be ending in 4 more minutes. Are there any other speakers? If there are no other speakers, then...
Sorry, do you have my hand up again?
No.
This is the third time. Is this James?
It is.
This is for the third time. Robert's Rules of Order allow you to speak twice. And that is it. So public comments will be closed. I thank the public for their comments.
Caller user.
I thank the public for their comments.
I move to adjourn.
Don't interrupt.
I move to adjourn.
Don't interrupt. Thank you.
Chair, you just stated there was 4 minutes left and now you prevented somebody from speaking. That's outrageous.
Sir.
That's an aberration of due process.
The rules of public comments are...
No, you just contradicted yourself. You said there were 4 minutes left, and then when James McFadden stated he wanted to speak, you disallowed it.
There were no speakers requested.
There were no speakers requested in addition to you. You've already spoken twice. Public comments are over. I am now going to entertain a motion...
I only spoke once, sir.
Sterling, please do not talk. I'm going to have to mute you. I'm going to entertain Mr. Sterling's motion that the time certain for the meeting, which is supposed to be at 1 o'clock, will be extended to 1:15 for the purpose of taking the LSB and the PNB reports. Do I hear any objection?
I object.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
What is your point of order?
We need to check in with the meeting administrators regarding the director election.
Okay, will you do that, please?
Thank you.
And ask them if they can extend it for 15 minutes?
I want to check in with EA and... Everyone has voted, and please lower your hand. If any LSB members have had trouble voting or were unable to vote, please raise your hand. Frank, were you unable to vote?
Frank? Sorry, I was typing in the chat, so lower my hand if we voted.
Yes, please.
If anybody who had any LSB member who is unable to vote, and I wanted to check in with EA and Peter if you have all the votes.
We're reviewing what we have. It'll just be a moment.
Okay.
Reports.
Okay, do we have all the votes? I didn't hear you.
They're reviewing, Lily.
Okay, thank you.
Some just came in, so it'll be a minute.
And go on to the...
Okay, so I have a motion, pending motion by Mr. Sterling, that we extend the time for this meeting, which is set to end at 5 minutes. My proposal is to end the meeting at 1:15. So as to hear the PNB and LSB reports. Do I hear any objection to extend the meeting to 1:15?
I object.
Okay. I object as well. Frank Sterling, the one who made the motion.
Okay,
I'd like to do 30 minutes.
Okay.
Take the vote.
Okay.
It was for the general manager to take questions. That was what my motion was going to be.
Okay. The motion will be first to extend the meeting to 1:15 to hear the PNB and LSB reports. Madam Secretary, will you take the roll, please?
Okay. And I'm taking the roll on a motion to extend the meeting to 1:15. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Madam Secretary. And my understanding is that it will take a 2/3 vote to extend the meeting.
Okay.
For 15 minutes to take specifically only the PNB and LSB reports.
Oh, thank you. Sharon Adams?
Yes.
Sharon, yes. Emma Eyre? Daniel Borgstrom?
Yes.
Daniel, yes. Donna Carter?
Yes.
Donna, yes. Michael Chang?
Yes.
Michael, yes. Cheryl Davila? Fred Dodsworth?
Abstain.
Fred, abstain. Don Goldmacher?
Yes.
Donald, yes. Leslie Howard? Zach Caldevere?
Yes.
Zach, yes. Lily Kimura?
Yes.
Lily, yes. Vince McFadden?
Yes.
James, yes. Elizabeth Milos? Brian Crowell? Candace Schott?
Yes.
Candace, yes. Catherine Duptalken?
Yes.
Catherine, yes. Mark Van Landuit?
Yes.
Mark, yes. Steve Zeltzer? Anthony Fest?
To extend, yes.
Anthony, yes. Philip Maldari?
No.
Philip, no. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene, yes. Frank Sterling?
Yes.
The problem and the issues that affect us that are
We are voting. Don't interrupt the vote. Please continue.
Richard Walensky?
Abstained.
Okay. Richard abstains. Okay, I'm going back to the people I didn't hear. Elizabeth Milos?
Please tell me what we're voting on because I got disconnected and it's not, when you get disconnected, you can't see the chat anymore.
Okay. For 15 minutes.
Oh, okay, yes, I vote yes.
On this weekend of...
Okay, and, Frank Sterling. Yes, okay, so we, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you.
Announce the count. 15 in
favor, 1 opposed. Please announce the count, Madam Secretary.
14, yes, and
one
no.
Okay, thank you very much. We will now hear the LSB and PNB reports, and let's start with...
point of order, Madam Chair, point of order. I have to agree with Frank Sterling that the motion that he's been talking about was to allow additional time to Antonio Ortiz. That was Frank's original motion or request.
All right.
Thank you.
We've already extended the time to 1:15. The chair will announce that if anybody had questions for Antonio's report, they were to email him directly regarding those questions. However, Mr. Sterling, is that your motion that you want to extend it for a time certain? To how long?
Let me get a chance to speak real quick. At the time I wanted to make my motion, I was going to say, could we extend the time 30 minutes? So we could ask questions of the general manager. And this is really because we only meet twice a month. Some listeners are here and, it's our only really chance to get it out on the record. For people that come back and listen to the meeting later. So I think skipping that part is, you know, kind of doing a disservice for the participants, the people that choose to participate, whether live now or going back and listening. They don't get to see our emails to the manager or hear the manager's message.
Yes. Point of order. Yes.
That motion is out of order right now because the general manager is no longer able to be with us. I want to check back with the about the election and see if everyone has been able to get their ballots in.
Hi, we have everyone's ballot except Brian Crowell, who I believe might not be present.
He was present earlier.
Well, excuse me, I've had my hand raised.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
So I've just sent the votes to Aki, but was I supposed to get one from Brian?
Yes. Well, he was in the meeting. Let me check in, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Continuing with the agenda item, the motion passes. The meeting time certain for the meeting will be extended to 1:15. We'll start with the LSB PNB reports, and let's start with Christina Huggins, please.
Yes, I'm on the National Finance Committee as treasurer now. I would like to state, first of all, that what Mr. Sagerton said is inaccurate. We did not refuse to hear the WBAI budget at our last meeting. We had two meetings on the WBAI budget, and the numbers were so far off and unsupportable that we extended it. We're going to be meeting on it next meeting again. They've changed the numbers twice when we pointed out that they did not match up with the national office's numbers. So I would take a exception to that. I would also state that the NFC approved the Pacifica Affiliates budget in December and the Pacifica Archives budget as well at the time of the meeting. The executive director said that KPFA is the only one paying central services fees to the PRA on a regular basis, is KPFA. KPFA has been paying $11,000 a month that we've asked to be put towards our central services payments. KPFA is owed over $170,000 by Pacifica, and that is why they are, we've been saying, and plus the $300,000, that's not even counting that. So we are the only station that is currently paying all of our bills, which is notable. WBAI at the last audit in 2022 was $6 million. It was over $8 million in net deficit spending. So it's amazing that KPFA is being attacked like this by people when KPFA is actually the most financially stable station in the network at this point in time. Other than, I think KPFT is doing pretty well too. The NFC did not refuse to hear the WBAI budget once again. I think that we are owed, I'm not sure if they're $149,000 or $170,000 deficit budget being presented to the NFC by WBAI that we'll be voting on. So the reason that we weren't able to vote on the WBAI budget is because the spreadsheet was riddled with errors. That's my report.
Lily, you're muted.
Sorry. Mr. McFadden, your report?
Yes, it's from I'm on the National Finance Committee. And it sort of depends on what you mean by, you know, hearing. The committee kind of degenerated. This is the NFC meeting to discuss the WBAI budget. It did get discussed, but it basically got stalled out. It was a very weird meeting where people just started nitpicking in minutia, and nobody from KPFA was doing this, but there were members of the NFC that just got nitpicking in minutia, and you can listen to the meeting, and that just stalled the whole process. It was just like all about procedure, and nobody was really talking about details within the WBAI budget, which I would have liked to have gotten into, because there are some issues there. I have issues with that. So, the other thing is it's not just WBAI budget. We got a budget from KPFA, and the KPFA budget, there's a projected budget, shows central services payments for fiscal year 2024. But in fact, we've not made any of those central services payments for fiscal year 2024, even though it's in the budget. So I don't know quite why this budget is written that way. And it is true, that's why I asked, because there's been a lot of numbers going around. That's why I asked the executive director directly to send me the facts about central service payments by KPFA, because I didn't know. I haven't gotten them from while a member of the LSB, and they sent me the spreadsheet that I've now sent to all the members of the LSB, so you can take a look at it. There were 5 payments of central services made in 22, fiscal year 22, none in fiscal year 2023, and none in fiscal year 2024 so far. And so even if you add up all that, it's over $700,000 that's not been paid. But there is some payments that we are doing that Christina just mentioned, but it's about a third of what we're supposed to be paying. And if you subtract that off, it's $700,000. And if you subtract off the $300,000 from the Vernia lawsuit, it's still over $400,000 owed by KPFA since
that in time.
Thank you very much, Mr. McFadden. Darlene Pagano?
Yes, the PMB has had new directors elected, and there are a few absolutely new people coming on, and hopefully that will maybe dilute some of the rancor that has been there, to my mind, from time immemorial. Again, the crowning achievement of this PNB in the last 2 months has been the stabilization of an excellent executive director for the next 24 months for Pacifica, and also the sale of the KPFK building is proceeding in a way that looks like it will over time absolutely support and encourage KPFK and stabilizing their station and their finances for quite some time. So I think I'll just let those three achievements be my report for the last month on the PMB.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pagano. Fred Dodsworth, do you have a report?
I do, and it's going to be good news. It affirms exactly what Darlene just told us, and I might be out on thin ice on this, but the purchasers of the KPFK building in L.A. are actually celebrated musicians who intend to put together a brand new recording studio and are excited about working with the Pacifica Network. I'm envisioning that this may actually give us some top-rated American pop stars that we will only be broadcasting on the Pacifica Network, that the current, basically the proposal that I've last heard affords not just KPFK a decade of no rent payments, but also the archives. And it's also my understanding that this new group, this wonderful group, is going to help us actually take the archives and digitize them to make them accessible. This is really a big deal, guys. This is worth millions and millions and millions of dollars. And the person who made this happen was Stephanie, our executive director. And I want to clarify something. Stephanie only had a 1-year contract and was not reviewed for over 18 months. And once she was reviewed, the people who didn't find her acceptable are who you would expect to not find her acceptable. Overwhelmingly, the people who encouraged her retention were the people you would expect to encourage her retention. And she has done a great job. She has now been extended for 2 years. And if we can end the acrimony and the duplicity, okay, I would call it, on the PNB and the LSB, this network can thrive. This network can do all that it is required and built to do. And I ask everybody to keep that in mind. This okay. is really a good thing.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Fred. Thank you very much. Do we have a report from Aki Tanaka? If not, we have about a few minutes, so that if any of the board members want to respond, Christina?
I think that it's disturbing that there are so many allegations about KPFA not paying its central services when we're deducting the money for our central services from the huge amount of money that the Pacifica Foundation owes us. And that was stated several times by Maria. So it's a little confusing, and I have to say that it's disturbing that we would have the NFC chair come into our meeting and make allegations that are false. So I would just say that's something I'm going to have to bring to the body of the NFC, because saying that we refuse to hear the WBI budget, that's pretty stunning to make an allegation like that when the body asked lots and lots of questions of Mr. Reimers during our two meetings. And as I said before, the numbers simply do not match up the NO to the NO. And that partly is because Mr. Reimers uses his own, books for it, QuickBooks, rather than using, the Prairie, the other one that everybody else uses. So it's a problem. So I just want to say that KPFA pays all of its bills once again, and the Central Services, spreadsheet that, you know, Mr. I'm going to let you know something that our business manager has discussed this with the executive director, Stephanie Wells, and I'm really glad that they gave her, extended her contract. I think she's excellent as an executive director. But I don't believe that we really don't owe money because we are owed money. So that would be what I would have to say.
Okay, thank you, Christina. Okay, we have 2 minutes left.
Excuse me.
Ms. Milos, you have your hand raised. What is your issue?
Yeah, I've had my hand raised for more than 15 minutes, by the way. Well, the executive director who you've all just praised is the one who has stated that the central services have not been paid and gave this specific amount to James McFadden, by the way. The other issue is I had direct questions to the general manager, which I will place here. My questions are, why have not has not opened the KPFA building?
Madam Chair,
anybody who has
Madam
excuse
Chair,
me,
I am speaking.
Do not interrupt me. Now you're interrupting me.
No, Anthony, we told you, maybe you were gone or you were cut off, but the general manager is not present, and that's why there were no questions asked.
No, so, I can still ask the questions to the KPF.
Questions to him.
The questions I said were it could be directed to him by email. Okay. Anybody else? It is now 1:14.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
It is now 1:15. It is now time to adjourn. Thank you very much for your patience. And the next meeting will be in March.
And the announcements will be.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.
The announcements, Chair?
Where? What about the PNB election?
Yeah, that's the whole point of us being here.
The chair doesn't unilaterally adjourn the meeting. There needs to be a vote of the members.
No, it's time certain. But we don't have the votes, and yes, my understanding, we don't have the final vote yet.
It's not.
Orders of the day means the rules, the meeting is adjourned, so orders of the day.
It's not time certain because the agenda which contained the time certain was never.
1:15.
The agenda was never adopted.
What is the process for the announcements? Anybody know outside of the meeting here?
Listeners should have the right to know the names.
I fear we're going to be made to wait till the March meeting.
What happened to the chair? Did she lose connection? Okay, I'm the vice chair then, I guess. So the meeting is adjourned. EA and Peter, could you please close the meeting? The meeting is adjourned.